You know what I want to say before we start?
What?
Outside, it is winter.
Oh my God.
It's in here. It is so hot.
It is so hot.
It's because it is snowing again today.
It's just crazy. I listened to that twice yesterday.
And here it is so hot. Anyway, hello.
And I can't, I'm unable to perform it in my car or anywhere in a way that is not the way Alan Cumming does it.
Well, of course, because that's kind of the way. That's kind of just the
way. That's my favorite thing he does.
I love his accent in the show. Like, it just fits so perfectly. It's just amazing. I love when he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, hello and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast Patreon edition. Today's a podcast day, but like, let's be fucking real. Today's a wicked day.
It's
oh my God.
It's just about wicked today.
We both saw it.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I texted Kelly this morning and I was like, do I feel like healed? Like, why did this actually? And she was like, I already put that on my close friend story today, that seeing this like healed something in me. Like, she was like, I feel so good today. I feel so happy. I was like, me too.
I went to go get a coffee this morning and I listened to the soundtrack and I burst into tears. No one mourns the wicked.
No one mourns the wicked.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think it's because it's a lot of people's first favorite musical. And like, yes. I think like it just reminds us of being, it's kind of like our generation's Wizard of Oz in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? Like, I think the connection that like a lot of people felt to those movies when they were young. Now we have that
and
with Wicked.
It's like generationally, it gets more beloved with like every new generation, because like we had the Wizard of Oz, right? Without the Wizard of Oz, you couldn't have Wicked. But it's like, we had the Wizard of Oz. People loved it so much and meant so much to them that then when they piggyback off of that and create Wicked, it's like, now we're going to compound all that love we had for the Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. We're going to bring that into Wicked, and then we're going to build on that and have more. And then now it's just like continues to happen. And it's like, it really is amazing. I think I was saying this every time I give Popular or like The Wizard and I to a student who doesn't already know it. It's so cool to just see them immediately love it. And they're like so into Wicked suddenly. And it's like, yeah, it really just is that good. And it holds up. And that's what's neat about the movie, is like, they just let it be that good. They didn't really try to they made it cinematic, but it wasn't like, it's not going to be different than the Wicked that you know.
I saw a critic that was like, I hope that this is a message to people who like decide to make movies based off of like a different source material, is that like, you don't, if it's beloved, you don't have to mess with the formula. Use the formula that's been working, and you can embellish it and you can enhance it, but don't change it. It's like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example.
Well,
Mean Girls is the most recent thing in my brain of like the way they change. It's not beloved like Wicked, so it's so different. But I mean, like, music-wise, the musical decisions in Mean Girls felt like they were trying to turn it into something that would be trendier.
Make it, like, contemporary and, like,
let it be what it was on the original cast recording. I think people might have liked it more, honestly, because it was kind of cringy.
I'm not even playing devil's advocate, but I think there's an explanation for why that one felt that way a little bit more. And I think it's because the source material for that was not a musical initially.
Mm-hmm,
so taking that, like, Wizard of Oz has always been a musical. So taking something that wasn't a musical and putting it on the musical stage, it's, no matter what, it's going to be cringy. Like, it just is, unless that's the format you're used to seeing it. And then they took that version that really didn't have that much time to breathe. And let's be clear, like, I did love the Mean Girls movie, but Mean Girls, the musical, didn't have a whole lot of time to breathe before they bring it to the screen. And what I felt like with Wicked is they made such great use of it being a fucking movie. Like, I've seen Wicked on stage, and just in The Wizard, and there are going to be, I mean, I guess some spoilers for the movie in this conversation, just so you know, but in The Wizard of Oz when she is running through like the cornfield or whatever and ends on the edge of a cliff. Like, we don't fucking get that in the stage version. And that song, it sort of demands something like that. Something so, this is her Maria running through the hills moment. Like, it's her I want song, and that it deserves that space where like she can just fill the space with her voice and it feels so powerful. Whereas like on Broadway, we don't get that. And same with No One Mourns the Wicked. Like, I thought Ariana brought so much.
Oh my goodness. I have so much to say about her and that. In that number specifically,
I mean, I have chills just thinking about like, it. What she's doing is unlike things I've seen before.
Well, it's also like you don't get the close-ups on Glinda's face exactly. In the musical. So obviously people who know the story know that what she's saying and how she's – there's layers to how she's feeling. Right. But also we get the close-ups, but it's not like Ariana's being like so animated.
She's not overt with it. Like, no.
But you can see her, like, you see that she, when they start singing about how, like, no one's going to lay a lily on her grave, like, all these, and she, like,
she's, like,
the way she acts it is,
yes,
so, I was blown away by it. And I also, I just love the way the movie starts with the like, radio, and, like, and then the flying monkeys
coming and giving us this whole tour, and you're realizing what just happened, and then it comes. It was almost like the Grinch when it goes over Whoville. That's sort of the vibe. Like, and here, and I also love the flying monkeys. I did not have any problems with the CGI at all. I thought the CGI when it was used was very well done. The animals I thought were fabulous. Honestly, I thought the talking animals,
the bear.
Oh, the bear.
Oh my gosh! And also, little Elphaba and little Nessa Rose.
Nessa.
First of all, Nessa Rose is
little
crying.
Nessa.
She's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
She was. What is the line? I mean, I need to see it again. I'm not off book yet, but Elphaba says to her, like, she's like, "Do you know?" Oh, she's like, "Do you want me to read this to you or whatever?" And Nessa's like, "Yep." Like, she's like, it's the cutest little thing, and it's such a cute like big sister moment. The way Elphaba reads it to her, where it's like. She's
it's very Caroline coded because Elphaba was like way too smart for her age. And it was like Caroline,
like, this is
Caroline
boring.
Caroline reading like Harry Potter, the seventh book to me. And I'm like, I'm barely reading and I'm five.
Please learn how to read. I'm trying to put on musicals here and you can't read a script yet. So I need you to learn how to read, Phoebe.
You and Caitlin needed a Dr. Dillon.
Well, we were doing it all ourselves.
That's what you would have made me play, Dr. Dillaman.
You would have been Nessa. We were doing it all ourselves. I mean, it was just me and her playing every role. Do you want to know the roles were? Because I remember.
Yeah, I do.
Can you want to guess?
Well, obviously, you were Glinda. She was Elphaba.
I was Glinda. She was Elphaba. And
she was probably, I bet you made her play.
That's the first time I ever knew Wicked. She was the expert on Wicked.
I know. But I feel like she maybe played the boy characters.
She did, but that was because she wanted to. Caitlin always wanted to play the boys. Even when we did when we were at Dance Etc. in like elementary school doing shows and we did like Footloose, like she wanted to be Ren. I'm pretty sure she played Danny or Knicky in Grease. She wanted to be boys all the time. So she played Fiero.
But she has a lower voice too. So I feel like maybe it's also like she might just feel more comfortable singing those.
I'm trying to think who lines. Else. I think she was Morrible. I mean, the other thing is I didn't know the music and I didn't know the show. I hadn't seen it. She was my first introduction to it. We printed off the script online. It was like 100 pages. We printed this off and it was just like on printer paper, the Wicked script. And we printed it out and we would do it, but I didn't know the song. So I remember like she would be like, well, I'll just do it because like, you don't know it. She would sing.
And
the
you would learn
like,
it.
I did it. And I would learn, and I was like, well, this can't go on like this much longer. I'm gonna have to have a bigger role at some point. And I'm playing Glinda. I also think, okay, in this stage version, and maybe we'll feel more this way once we get part two. In the stage version, it feels very much like Elphaba's story. And in this, it really felt like Glinda's. Like, I felt like this movie, I walked away like, this is Ariana's movie. And
I feel like
Cynthia
maybe. I think it's maybe because we get to see, I think so much of Glinda's story is like subdued, a little bit in terms of like the depth of her character, which what we were talking about, like her grieving Elphaba, but also feeling that way. But when you see Wicked on stage, Glinda kind of just like comes in the beginning, does her part, is part of the number, but you're not really seeing it. And also then it's like she like goes away. I don't know. It feels
right.
She's not. And also when you see the opening number on the stage, she's giving much more like Glinda from the Wizard of Oz. It doesn't.
You just think she's like, oh, let us speak loud. Yeah, exactly. You know, whatever. But then when she's walking through them and she starts singing like, the wicked's lives are lonely and goodness knows the wicked die alone. And she's like realizing this and like it's hurting her. But she's also, I think, realizing that like maybe she's the wicked one, you know, like as she's singing it, she's like, I'm the one who and there's and she looks I thought she looked gorgeous. So
I know. And
pretty.
She looks like, she's having so and like I could I mean. And I think part of this is like this lent itself to Glinda's character. But I do feel like watching it, you could just see how much fun she was having and how like how much of a dream come true it was for her. Like I felt like I could feel
it was like healing her and you could watch. Yeah, 100%. Her. How did you feel about Popular once? Because I know people had feelings about it when they heard it. But I really felt like watching it. I was like, this all makes complete sense to me.
I thought it was perfect.
I was laughing hard out loud. She's like, so I was funny. One of the first people in the theater to LOL really hard, and I got kind of embarrassed. But then I think everyone, like, got on
board. Our theater, the first thing everybody laughed out loud at was when Bowen is walking up the stairs after he sees Elphaba, and he says, and, you know, I don't even see color, which was an improvised line.
He didn't I remember him talking about that. I think a lot of what he did was improvised, which
I need the director's cut though, because I've been through.
I've been through. I mean he and what I'm sorry, what is his counterpart's name? I can't remember. But she was hilarious.
She was so funny too.
When they go up to Glinda, they're like, no, stop it.
Also when they come in, in her room, oh my god, the dance was
I was weeping, like trying so hard not to be loudly sobbing.
When Cynthia starts, when they start doing it together, and then you realize that Cynthia is like fully weeping,
fully
like,
crying,
fully like tears running down her face.
I mean,
another thing, not to jump around, but another compliment to Ariana, why I think Glinda maybe will strike people differently in the movie than she does on stage or even just listening to the soundtrack is obviously like I know that I haven't seen Wicked in a long time. Like the last time I saw it was in the West End.
Oh, lucky you. It's been years since I've seen it.
In eighth grade. I was in London, that trip we saw Wicked.
I think I was in high school last time I saw it. Maybe but, I was in college.
I think Defying Gravity can feel very like they're mad at each other the entire time.
Yes. Like,
but in this performance, when they sit, I can't think of the lyric, but there's that part where I think it's the last time they sing together.
I hope you're happy in the end. Yes. I hope you're happy, my
and
friend.
It's like, those words are a little bit like,
I hope you're happy now that you're choosing this. I hope it brings you bliss. I really hope you get it and you don't live to regret
like, those words. And the way Adina sings them also on the soundtrack, it sounds like there's like
animosity from both of them. I mean, same with Kristen Chenoweth. She goes, you know, I hope you're happy. Like this real, you know, whatever. Where
but in this, there was like a softness to both of them. And like, they know that like Glinda is like, you have to do this. I can't go with you. And Elphaba's like, I want you to go with me so badly, but like, I know you can't. And when the guards grab Glinda, and Elphaba like is like wants to help, but it's all oh my goodness. I was blown away by the whole thing.
And she's like,
and Cynthia's acting also is just like the way the small movements she's able to do with her eyes, and which is why I'm so glad we finally got a movie, because again, it's just
adding depth
to these characters.
That's
that we
what
don't
the movie
get
was
otherwise.
Able to do that I don't think you get in the state. It's exactly the point. It's like Jonathan Chu, I think what he's so gifted at doing when he directs these movie musicals is giving us more of what we already love and like answering questions for us that can only be mm-hmm. answered by like proximity. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really know how Glinda's feeling because what she's doing, especially in No One Warns the Wicked, because you have to understand she's coming down in her bubble to address the Munchkins. And as she's addressing them, she's working very hard on making her voice so strong, and I'm your leader and you can trust me and I'm not about, you know, I'm not wicked, whatever. But what's happening here is telling us something a little bit different. But when you're in a Broadway show, when you're at any show watching it, you're with the Munchkins, you know, you're among mm-hmm. the Munchkins. So you're just getting what they're getting. And now we get to see.
And you have to
get so much more
on stage.
The Glinda humanness.
Yeah.
Of these characters and like, and the complicated emotions behind so much of this. What I really loved was that I felt none of them felt like they needed to explain anything, explain themselves. You know, Jeff Goldblum as the wizard is obviously wasted the whole time and they don't mention it. And I could see people who don't understand that part of the story being like, why the fuck was he acting like that? Because they never say anything about it. They never talk
also,
about
it. It is also a little bit like he is just being Jeff Goldblum a little bit. Like some of the things he was saying. Drunk. He was great. I thought he was, I mean, not that I was the only casting, and it wasn't a worry because I love Michelle Yeoh and I trusted that
she was loved her.
Amazing. But I think that like I just wasn't sure. I didn't know if she could, I didn't know if she could sing. I didn't know any, I didn't really, I just wasn't sure, but she I thought was incredible.
When she turns around after the monkeys.
When the switch flips at that part of the movie, when like we realize that she and the wizard are in cahoots and they're going to use Alpha to like do all this. And Cynthia's acting when she realizes what she did to the monkey. And then when she realizes that she's done it to all the monkeys.
Yes.
And then
also, I mean, the monkey, I know it's CGI.
The monkey's acting was incredible.
But I was just like, this is a hard watch. And I thought that was the point, you know, it was. They made you watch it and it was hard to watch and you don't get that on stage. Like, I mean, it's just not possible for it to be like that. And
no,
it's just not possible, you guys, to do that.
If you can even believe
it. When Michelle Yeoh walks into the room and she does her big claps to the monkeys and then she turns around and it's like the slow motion, her walking out and like her face just like, it's when she comes over the loudspeaker, I thought all the breaks in Defying Gravity really worked. Mm-hmm. And you also just see Glinda struggling with like who she's always been and what she's always wanted, which is to be Madame Morrible's number one, you know, to have that. And so you watch her wrestling with everything Elphaba's teaching her and taught her, but also Elphaba. What I liked here was like Elphaba's not like, well, I'm better than you because I'm doing this. I'm better than you because I'm not selling out, you know, or doing mm-hmm. the evil thing. She understands someone has to. She understands somebody's going to have to whatever. And I wonder if there's a part of Elphaba that's like, I'd rather it be Glinda than somebody else because I know Glinda's heart is good. Like, I do know mm-hmm. that. And, you know, I trust her and this is what she's wanted. And so as much as I want this for me, I want this for her. Like this other thing for her and we can both have what we want, but we're not going to understand the other person. And like, that's really just life, but it's just, you know, that like we can both get what we want and we might not understand why the other person wants it, but we can, I don't even know if the word is like want it for them. It's just like, we can just resolve to allow that because mm-hmm. we love them. And it's that selfless love where it's like, I love you so much that it kills me to let you get what you want and do this and make this decision. Cause they both mm-hmm. think the other person is making the wrong choice, you know? Like,
yeah.
But they're also like, I trust you and respect you enough that I trust you'll make the right choice for you, which is something we don't really get. And I think that honestly, a lot of that comes from Ariana and Cynthia's relationship. Like mm-hmm. in real life, the way the respect they have for each other. I mean, I could have imagined a world. Yes. I could have imagined a world where Cynthia rolled her eyes a little bit at Ariana getting cast as Glinda.
I agree. I totally
You know
agree.
What I mean?
Yeah.
And I wonder if there was a moment where she did. Maybe not because she auditioned with her. So, you know, she.
And I feel she Ariana kind of got the blessing from Kristen. So early.
Oh, how about when Adina and Kristen come out during One Short Day? So did you know that was going to happen?
I had a feeling Kristen Chenoweth might be in. I didn't know how they were going to be, because I had seen a clip from the Kelly Clarkson interview, and I was like confused about it, because I hadn't heard anything about it. And then that was the first I had been like, maybe she's in it. But I didn't think Adina was in it for sure. I thought Kristen might be in it for like a second. I didn't think they were going to be singing, certainly. But I did audibly gasp. And then I just loved all the it honestly, that number felt like it was Kristen, Adina, Cynthia, and Ariana, not necessarily the characters. Especially like when they get their blessing almost, it feels like. And Kristen's still like having fun with Ariana, like she like puts her arm in front of Ariana to do the note or something. But also I love how Adina and Kristen have that on stage when they're like singing and they're stepping in front of each other.
Yes.
And Adina gets always to do her have note. I love that the note is in the movie. I love that the original Defying Gravity, you know, war cry like, is
yes. And them adding something and also it being joyful, you know, in that moment where Adina does it and it's this. So it's more of this like
it's like look at this thing I created, low key.
It feels like reminiscing, like, you know, it feels like a moment where we get to reminisce with these women who we love so much, but it doesn't steal the show. It doesn't take anything away.
It was from smartly done.
I could see like adding in that little bit could have honestly been a disaster.
It could have been too campy. Flopped.
It could have been too campy. It could have been taken me completely out of it. It was neat. The entire theater was like like gasped, and I had seen Kelly's like, did you know? Looks over at me, and I was like,
was Kelly just Kelly's painted green, just tears rolling down her face.
Yeah, it was amazing. Kelly wasn't painted green, but we did have somebody. But Kelly and I are walking out of the parking lot, and Kelly goes, look. She was like, look, turn around, and I turn, and I just see this man walking through the parking lot. Snow. I'm like, is that, could that be Miss Elphaba? She completely painted green. Which hat? Which dress? Dressed with somebody who's dressed completely normal, totally normal. Not even like a Glinda vibe. Like it's so
that
funny.
Energy but, was not present at my theater. Me and Mimi were the most.
Yeah, you said your theater had a weird vibe.
Well, it wasn't that it was
weird. What do you mean dressed up? What did you wear?
I just mean like, this is what I mean. This
you said,
is what
you
I mean
said mom,
the
can you
up.
Ship me the golf cart costume ahead of time? I just want to make sure it fits. I just want to make sure it fits.
Mimi wore a super cute like green, like Kelly green cardigan with a pink shirt under it.
Cute, Mimi.
I wore my Steelers shirt under my pink Mac Miller hoodie. And then I wore a green, I have those socks that have the stripes at the top, and I wore a green one and a pink one.
Cute. Oh, okay, you got crazy.
Well, I felt crazy. I felt like everybody's looking at my socks when I walked in there. I was like, okay,
self-centered as hell. Right, like, great. Everyone's staring at my socks. I knew this would happen.
Am I in the right theater? Okay, two more things about my experience. One is, lights are on when I walk in there, and also people are walking out of the theater. So I'm like, is this, was this showing? So what's going on?
Yeah.
But I walk in 5 minutes before trailers even start, and it's basically completely full, except for obviously the three seats in my row
that you purchased.
And that I purchased. Well, we only purchased two. We lucked out with that last one.
That is actually such insane luck.
I know. And then, so these two, I'm coming back to my seats. I hear these two workers walking down the hall, and they're like, yeah, normally when some, like these two teenage boys who work there, they're like, normally when someone tells me that the screen's not working, I just like hit my walkie talkie and then like let it fix itself, because 98% of the time it just fixes itself. Which I thought
you
was
said,
so funny.
Hey, we're not doing that in this movie. The screen stops working. You're coming in here. And
you're starting it over.
What's going on? Yeah, and I'm owning this movie theater. Yeah,
I heard own you. This
I heard movie. You, bitch. I heard you, bitch.
And so then they like walk up, and Mimi and I are in. This was the one downside of our row, is that the sound was a little less than ideal, just because of where we were. And then it was fine. And then we were right next to the projection room, like the door to the projection room. So there, they come up to turn the movie on. Oh. And this kid walks in there and he goes, wait, what is in here? This is supposed to be Wicked, right?
And Mimi and I looked at each other.
Okay.
And we were like, has every cinema in the country not
have
been
you
like
not been prepared for this?
Like, no, it was literally Armageddon. Like, have you
literally
am I living in an alternate universe where like this isn't as important
to
Tennessee than it is to everybody in the rest of the world? Anyway,
that's disturbing.
Last trailer is playing, literally the last trailer. These two girls walk in into the row in front of us, which when I walked past it was completely everybody was in there, like it was every seat was filled in this row.
Okay,
they walk up there. They did not do what we did, where they realized that all the seats were full and like look for the next available seats because the movie's about to start. They're like, they're holding up their QR code. These are our seats to these people that had been sitting there since before I got there.
Oh my God.
And the woman at first was like really nice and was like, oh, okay, I must be like moved down. I guess the seats are numbered wrong. There was a seat missing in the row. And she was like, I mean, I don't want to be rude, but like, I've been sitting here. All my stuff is here. My family's sitting here. Can you guys go find other seats? Meanwhile, they've already taken their seats. They're sitting down. They're like getting comfortable. And the woman's still standing. They're not helping her try to figure out where her seat is. And I'm like, if this is still going on when the movie starts, we're going to have issues. They got to figure it out. But it was.
Thank God. Jesus Christ. I would have been like, I have to leave.
I have to leave. This man down the row was finally like, we'll just all move down. It's fine.
Jesus. They're it like, I'm really not fucking around, lady. people are getting like,
I was like, okay, if so you're going to be so like, if you're going to be that adamant that you need to sit in your assigned seats, low key and like get there on time. I don't know.
Yeah.
If your seats, this is another reason we can abolish the assigned seat.
I don't know if we can, though. I don't know. I think I prefer it now. Because before you had to get there early to make sure you got the seats you wanted. And there might not be two seats together. And that was like a tragedy when that used to happen.
Yeah.
Especially if you're sharing snacks.
The last. Oh, my God. Okay. One other thing. Not to sound like a complaining freaking person. I got there a little early because I wanted to be in my seat. I wanted to be comfortable. I was like, Mimi, I'll pick you up, but this is when I want
to
get
there. Fucking ready.
I was like, this is when I want to get there. So she was like, I'll just meet you. It was so funny. And I left my house at 6 p.m. so I could be early.
What time did the movie start?
My showing was at 7. And anyway, so the popcorn is like popping. I'm like, oh my God.
Thank God for that.
The story's gonna get worse. I'm about to get the best bucket of popcorn I've gotten in my whole freaking life right now. She's like scooping from the stuff that's not like the old popcorn for most of it.
And you're like, hey, let's redirect.
She hands me my bucket, turns around, and then flips the thing over so that all of the hot popcorn is now.
I would have started crying.
I was like,
you know what our mom would have done? Mom would have said, hey, can you dump this out and redo that? Yeah. Can you give this to somebody else? I don't want this. Okay.
What I should have said is I'm an AMC Stubbs member. And
hello?
Listen, I can preemptively know that I'm about to hear that there's some weird stuff going on behind the scenes at this AMC.
Oh, yeah. You're like
not doing your job.
Up to snuff. It's not really up to snuff. So I just want to let you know I run into any more issues with my showing of Wicked. It'll be your head. Can I tell you about my experience going?
Yeah.
You're going to be jealous.
Well.
Okay.
The bar on my end is really high.
Yeah, well, I know. That's why you're going to be jealous. Well, we did see it in the big, big theater. With not IMAX, but the big theater with the nice seats.
4X
and
whatever.
Yeah. And we sat, typically I like to sit on an aisle. You all know this. I hate the sound of chewing. And so popcorn's like the worst. I don't know, again, how we chose popcorn for the movie snack. Like I love eating popcorn during a movie, but like I don't want anyone else to have it. Sorry.
And
anyway.
I don't know where the theater etiquette went. In terms of like when it's kind of quiet in the movie, if the movie's quiet,
you better
quiet.
Suck on that piece of popcorn until it's time to chomp down.
I'm not shaking my candy right now.
No, I'm opening a wrapper and turning my flashlight on because I brought all my candy in my bag and I can't. Which
Sorry,
I don't even have to do
and
anymore.
I have a blanket on.
The blankets are crazy.
Look. Lots of blankets.
Are out of control. Me too.
Lots of blankets. So Kelly and I first, we hang out. We go to the Cheesecake Factory for dinner because
I'm going tonight.
We had to go work. We had
Wait,
to go
what
to a
Cheesecake
different...
Factory did you go to?
I'm telling you. Listen, I'm explaining it. We had to go to a different theater because I tried to get tickets for Robinson and it was impossible. So I got tickets for the North Hills Cinemark. And
wow,
we went
how
to.
Was that?
We have been there before. It's good. But we went to Cheesecake Factory because it's by Ross Park. So we did that. We didn't have cheesecake, though, because
they
we
went
like,
to a they went to the bougie part of town, guys. That's what she's trying to tell you. They went to the North Hills.
I don't know. I don't know if it felt like a bougier theater than the Robinson. Well, I don't know.
Well, Ross Park compared to
Ross Park,
Robinson Township
but,
or
yeah,
the South Hills Village. Yeah. But hey, Von Maur is about to give Ross Park a run for its money.
I got a purse at Von Maur and it was on sale for $18 and it's so cool. Wow. Anthony was like, well, oh my God, this is amazing. How much was it? $1 million? It's like 18. Anyway, so we don't have cheesecake because we're like gonna like certainly have lots of treats at the movies. So that was a really like responsible decision on our part. We go to the movies. I was wearing my all pink.
Yeah, it was a cute bar. Outfit.
Yeah, I know. It looks adorable. Bar sweatsuit. And then
Kelly
I had
was
on
a cape.
Kelly was in a cape. Kelly was in all black. She looked great. And then I had on my Wicked headband, of course. And then I had my green nails and I had on pink
it
socks.
Looked,
so we were fully.
Your outfit looked very like Blair Waldorf at a Wicked themed sleepover.
Thank you. So that was that. And then we go in and Phoebe, you will never believe what happened. I pull up my tickets and I was like, oh my God, I bought 3 tickets. I must have thought Anthony was like going to come with us or something. But that's great because then we'll just have the seat next to us. That's perfect. I go show the guy my thing. He's like, I don't think that's the right place.
Not again.
Like, I'm like, what? And Kelly goes, is it in Nashville, Caroline? Because I'm sorry about the tickets. And I was like, no. And I'm looking at Kelly's face and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to look this girl in the face and tell her we're not about to see Wicked. And I was like, okay, well, there's a showtime starting right now. I'm just going to buy you tickets. I'm sure we'll be able to find.
He's like, it's sold out.
And she's like, okay. And I'm looking and then I realized, Caroline, you dunce. You've bought tickets to 3 showings already. Those are just for Monday. Those are just for Monday when you're going with the 2 people you used to babysit. Sorry, here are our tickets. So crisis averted. Got our tickets, but I was like, I can't look at Kelly and tell her this.
That
her
is
face,
like,
she was like, what? She was like so, and I knew
what
she
did you tell
like,
her why?
I was like, oh yeah, of course. I was like, yeah. Oh, she goes, okay. I thought because it was the Robinson Theater and 3 tickets. I was like, what was I thinking? And then I realized. So that was that. I have a little complaint for the concessions area because they had all the amazing Wicked stuff. So I did get a color changing cup, which is so cute and fun. It turns just bit my tongue. It turns green when you put liquid in it, and then it's pink when it's like warming up a little bit when the stuff is melting. And then they had this amazing Wicked popcorn bucket. Mm-hmm. So obviously I got it, and didn't notice anything like. I mean, it was obviously special, but I didn't notice anything like out of the ordinary. So go through the movie, whatever. Last night, Kelly texted me, does your popcorn bucket light up? And I was like, certainly I would know if it lit up.
Also,
I go down this morning.
Hey, movie companies making merchandise. Do not create something that's going to go into that theater that lights up. Don't want it.
I'm like, well, you know what? Thank God I didn't know it lit up because that means everyone in my theater knew how to act. That means everyone in there knew how to fucking behave.
Or they also
no one had
it
on. Well, I'm like, did the movies maybe? Okay, maybe Cinemark was like, because here's my thing. They didn't have it lit up on display. So I had no clue that thing lit up and no one said anything about it. And like, I didn't know. Maybe that was intentional. Maybe they didn't want people to know because they thought people would be irresponsible once they knew what power they held. But I did light it up this morning in Phoebe. It's next level. It's so cool.
It's Caroline's Christmas tree topper.
So this is not machine washable. not machine washable, just so we all know. Okay, we watched the movie. I did have to sit next to somebody who was chomping her popcorn very loudly. I don't like when people have the popcorn, they put it in their mouth, and they chomp down before they close their mouth. I don't need to hear the popcorn. And your mom does it.
Yeah.
In your teeth before you, if you close your mouth at the same time, I won't even really hear it. But you like it. You like the sound it makes. Admit it. That's why these people do it. They fucking like it. And I think that's rude. I think it's rude. We're at a movie. The good news is we had unusual seats. We're sitting like front row, not front row, like the front of the second part and in dead center. So our seats could not have been better. Perfect sound. Perfect. We felt truly immersed in it. It was excellent. We leave. We saw somebody who was dressed as Elphaba, which was the icing on the cake, of course. I have no notes. Like and here's the other thing, Phoebe. I didn't get up and go to the bathroom one time. I normally get up multiple times. I did not. I was like, wait, we're already at Defying Gravity? I couldn't believe it. I was like, I don't feel like this has been 3 hours at all. Maybe Defying Gravity is an hour long and I didn't realize. Like, I do not feel like I could have sat 3 more hours. I could have. I'm glad we get more because I have something to live for.
But I still feel like I'm going to need a re-release of part one.
Next. We're going to get
Hormone Harmony. Road Warriors, let's get real. Managing PMS can be difficult. When I get on to record the podcast with Caroline, it can be tough sometimes to lock into a cheerful mood. But good news, with the help of Hormone Harmony, I am able to manage my PMS and so much more. It helps me balance my moods and even improves my sleep quality. Hormone Harmony is dedicated to making women's lives better. One of the ways they achieve this is through science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. These help your body adapt to stressors. Hormone Harmony is third-party tested, non-GMO, and gluten and dairy-free. It's no wonder to me a new bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. If you can even believe it, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for 15% off today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
November.
Well, I just can't wait till it's available on streaming because it's my new comfort movie. I'll be watching it every fucking day.
I know, but I just mean in terms of like, I think I said this on the podcast already. I just would love to have like a 6-hour experience.
Well, yes. And I'm sure they will eventually.
In the theater is what I want.
Sorry, something's going on with my computer. Is it like really glitchy for you?
A little bit, but nothing out of the ordinary. Not to roast you.
Yeah, you kind of are roasting me, but okay. Anyway, what did you think of Jonathan Bailey? I'm in love
with him. And I like that he in the beginning, like, obviously he's perfect. He's like doing the Fiero, like he's a little bit like ditzy, but he also like I like that you can, and maybe again it's because it was a movie, but he's not just like dumb the whole first half of the movie.
No.
He's like, you can see that there is some dissonance with like how he presents himself and who he really is.
Yeah.
And it's not only evident when he's with Elphaba and when he and Elphaba have their first like, but I love their first meeting when she like, is a little pick me bitch and is like, no, I'm not seasick. I didn't eat grass.
Yes.
He does all that stuff and she like goes through it so quickly. He's like, he didn't even say anything really about you being green, other than like kind of a charming comment. He didn't do what the school did to you.
Right. And, certainly not.
And I loved his line delivery when he says, have you always been this defensive?
what does he say? In the defensiveness. Did that come?
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, I also thought him and dancing through, like, how silly he was.
So, yes.
I just love the silliness. And Ariana, too, the choices they made. Because the other thing is, I mean, when you have a work like this, you don't have to be original. You can do whatever someone else did and people will love it. And in fact, mm-hmm. a lot of people will prefer it. You know,
but I loved, and I think maybe it's the way it was mixed, but which is why it might have been more clear to me. But in No One Mourns the Wicked, her good news at the end, like the really high one. I mean, I do think she went a little bit higher than in the original.
She did.
But like, I like how much you can hear it. In the original cast recording, it's a little bit more blended in with the ensemble. So you can hear that Glinda's singing that part. But like, it's not as elevated. And it, I just like, I hope that people walk away from this movie being like, okay, Ariana is the vocalist of our generation.
I don't see how they can walk. And I just kept thinking, wait, they were singing live.
I know. Like, which I kept thinking. And like, when I think about,
how are they doing it though?
And I also wonder how that worked for like,
with mixing and shit. I wonder that all the time.
Just because like, if they did a ton of takes, and Ariana and Cynthia were in an interview one time, and Ariana did a lot of comping for the movie, which I think is so cool that they let it. Also, it shows how much she loves and respects and like, yes, is so obsessed with it, but craft. Also how much they respected her opinion.
Yes.
And she would like send vocal passes that Cynthia did and be like, this is the one I picked, is, do you like this or whatever. But it's like, I don't understand, like, to normally, like, if you were just recording that in a studio, it wouldn't matter what you were doing on screen, because later you would just lip sync to the pass that was picked. But if she's going, like, then does that mean that that has to be the visual take that they go with? I don't know.
Yeah, that's I wonder. I was wondering. And I think,
but I mean, it was incredible.
I bet it depends. I bet they're, my guess is that, you know, they break it up. So they're like, okay, we're going to do one pass through with the camera. We're going to do this Cynthia jumping on the stones, sing just, so we're just going to sing this part as she does it. And then I bet they like layered that in with some vocals that they did, you know what I mean? Or they tuned it up a little bit, or like if there were parts where her was jumping on that, they just put a couple words. Like, I feel like they probably were that tedious with it, is my guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's taken this long, I hope so.
I mean, it's just so fucking good. Like,
I loved the beginning of What Is This Feeling was,
yeah, well, my face is blushing.
It was perfect. She was incredible.
And then when she's writing, she goes, I can't hear your guesses because this is
a letter. She was just so good. I can't get over it.
It was so, so, so good. I mean, I just was like laughing. I don't know. I don't even, when she like goes down the floor and then she,
yes, like, and then she looks up and she goes back down.
And she looked at the costumes, Madame Morrible's costumes,
amazing.
The one like copper cape, and the way that all of her silhouettes were similar. I love the, just like the glasses, like all these little details. I also think it's so.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it's so neat what they did with the Munchkins, like seeing that being this like culture.
I wonder how mom's going to feel.
Created. She better have nothing but nice things to say, because this is the representation you've been asking for.
No, but it's not.
It's actually, but they're small. They're supposed to be small. Isn't that what everyone wants? And then in 2024,
the fact that they planted like a million tulips, and those are like, so many of those tulips are real and that existed in real life.
Maybe the poppies, though. Oh my god,
I love that. All the foreshadowing throughout the whole thing. When Cynthia turns around in the Wizard and I, when she says, "I could melt," like, just a little wink to the people that know what is coming.
Yes.
And like anything.
Oh,
when Madame Morrible holds the umbrella and she's like, I don't want you to get wet.
Don't get wet. Yes. Yes.
And also when they're doing their first magic lesson that we see, and we get the shadow of Elphaba's hand over the book. And it looks like that picture of the original Wicked Witch, where it's like her going like this or whatever.
Oh,
and
you mean
with the witch shadow, and her fingers are all like, yes. But that shadow over when she's trying to control the coin is that, it's like that silhouette. It looks like Nailing that? It, nailing it. Yeah, just like that.
I'll get you, my pretty. And your little dog, too. Oh, I love Madame
I also Gulch. Love, did you see the picture on Instagram that's going around right now of, like, the original, like, workshop rehearsals with Adina and Kristen, like, when no. they were, like they're oh, so oh, young. I've seen those. Yes. And they have the bandana. Kristen has the bandana on. They're just, like,
yes.
And the fact that, and I love, I posted this one on my story, but the picture of them on stage, I think it's them doing Popular, maybe. And the way Kristen is looking at Idina Menzel is just, like, I'm so glad that they were the original duo, because I'm sure it puts some pressure on certain pairings, like they feel like they have to have
yes
what they had.
It's chemistry,
but it's yeah. also like it also opened the door for like it to be that meaningful to and for like friends like you and Kelly and you and Caitlin, like that friendship now is a project, like people project their own friendships yeah. onto it, and it's become like such a beautiful thing. And it wouldn't have been that way if they hadn't like
no
been the best friends that they were.
It's just also like what's neat about it is this whole point of the story, right? Which is that like people who are different can still be good and can still understand each other and can still even love each other. And you know what could happen when we like put our prejudices mm-hmm. aside and whatever. And I think so many female friendships come out of moments like that where it's like, I mean,
it's low-key you and Clyde.
I was just gonna say I'm like thinking me and Clyde, like how many friendships though where it's like, oh, we didn't get it, we didn't like each other, we didn't see eye to eye, we didn't whatever, and then it's just like
it's like Elle and
Vivian.
Yes, Elle and Vivian.
Yes.
It's just like
it's
that.
A very common trope, and it's common on screen and in real life.
And in life.
And in life. And life imitates art, and art imitates life. But I just think that...
You know, me and Mimi famously didn't get along when we first met.
Really?
I didn't think Mimi liked me, and
Mimi
didn't really like me.
Why didn't she like you? Like, I don't know.
I think
Mimi,
it was maybe a little standoffish, maybe. But Taylor you? Liked me when we all met.
Me, every time I get on to record the podcast, I'm like, okay, feeling a little weird. Phoebe's being a little standoffish today. I'll have to warm her up a little bit.
but
I have to also say, sorry.
Well, I just Mimi is Glinda, and I would be the Elphaba in the situation.
Wow,
which is interesting because, like in high school, Sarah Davidson, not to fully name drop, but Sarah Davidson
Stop
and I, we would always like we loved the song "What Is This Feeling." We would always like sing that in the car
because it is the best song in the show.
And I'm so glad it's a little bit longer in the movie. Same with "One Short Day." Like I'm glad all these songs, and I wanted every song to have an extra dance break added, so I was glad that they did that in the movie. Because
I love how Jonathan Chu
that little
films a dance break.
That little dance break in the original Dancing Through Life, where like I love that whole like however long that is, it's like 30 seconds, but yeah. I could listen to just that for like the yes. entire song, and they added more of that.
The string
in this version.
Nah.
I know just a little. So... I was talking to someone about this today. And I don't mind it because we still have the original one, but I wonder why they decided to make that one a little bit more poppy. Like it's not all the other songs are pretty much line with how they were, and this one they changed.
I kind
it up
of
a little
love
bit.
That.
I think it worked for Jonathan Bailey 100%. Yes.
And it also worked. Like I noticed it more listening to it on the soundtrack this morning than I did in the movie theater because I think I really did feel like. I've never gotten to see Wicked and they go to a club. Like it was so cool. Like watching them walking.
All
it was
get
like
ready.
Walking to a college party. I was like, this actually feels like it. And then how they did the Oz Dust with like underwater. Like it was
oh
so neat.
I can't. And they Lost College prepped us for this. People kept telling us about the scene. But the first of all.
The dance.
Seeing Elphaba. Trust Glinda that she's doing she's actually being nice, and then she goes to Madame Morrible, and then Madame Morrible comes and seeing Glinda's wrestling with this inner face, and then when Elphaba before she walks into the party, the like glimmer in her eye, like she's finally about like exactly what Nessa Rose talked about. She's like, I'm finally about to have a night where like
finally for this one night I'm about to have a fun night.
A fun night. Exactly. And then she walks in. Oh my god. No, oh my god. Like, I couldn't do it.
And I think they talked about it on Last College how they it's like intentionally painful to watch. Like it's actually really hard to watch that scene. And then when she starts doing the dance, and then I also love how Ariana didn't know the dance before. Because she was like, I shouldn't know it. Like, it should look like I should. Yeah. That's what she said. She was Cynthia and I think the choreographer came up with the dance together and did not show anybody. And they were like, Ariana, do you want to come in and learn it? And she was like, I kind of think I shouldn't. Like, I will. But what if, like, it's me? She's teaching it to me. I don't know it. That's part of it. It shouldn't look like I know it.
And that's
it should look better on Elphaba's body than it looks on Glinda's body, which is something that's not typical for those characters.
When someone is making something, like it's just
that insight made a huge difference. Like,
and we talked about this on the podcast, I think last week before we went to see it, but just knowing that the people that were a part of this cared so much about it, like it wasn't a money grab for any of them. They all
it's so I mean, this could have been a money pit. It could have been a complete and total money pit watching it and seeing like how much money they poured into this. I think you froze for me. You know, but it could have been the opposite of a money making thing, like given everything they put into this. I think it wasn't maybe in What Is This Feeling, felt reminiscent of 96,000 in the Heights, the way that they're all in the street dancing. There was kind of a moment like that. Like,
you guys know I love those choreo moments.
I thought the choreography was so fun, so fabulous. I love the like different unique What Is This Feeling choreography I could watch. I mean, when What Is This Feeling was over, I wanted to press rewind and watch it again. Like,
especially after seeing all the videos of Bowen like learning to dance, and also hearing Bowen's little voice in the ensemble, like just being able to hear it like edge out a little bit of the voices was like,
it's special.
It's so special.
Everyone's handprint is really on this movie and on my horror after seeing
it. Exactly.
The dance though, when Ariana and their hands touch and you get that moment of like that, and it's them dancing together, and the way that Ariana starts wiping away her tears, I just was like trying not to be heaving, sobbing loudly because it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. Like I'm going to cry just thinking about it. The movie was so good. I'm literally
emotional.
And I'm so
excited for part two. Because part two, it just like.
But I'm also just so excited to see part one again. Like, I want to be clear. There's no impatience here.
Let me tell you this notification I just got.
Okay.
Kelly Cochran sent a post by T-Pain.
By T-Pain? Oh, not Tree Pain.
T-Pain.
Interesting. What is it?
T-Pain is forming a new band and you can be in it.
And she said, I know just the girl, Phoebe K. Connelly. Wow.
That's so funny. That's so fucking funny. One more thing I wanted to say about Wicked. After watching the Curtain Rises little documentary, music-wise, the guy who conducted the original one, I believe is the same person who conducted this one. Mm-hmm. And like the orchestra for it. And he said, when we did the original, I had a 20-piece orchestra in front of me. And the orchestra that did this was like over 120 people. Like how they scaled everything up so much. And like also that moment to be like, because I wasn't obviously like cognizant when Wicked was being made, but like I think about watching the videos of like Alex Lacamoire and Lin-Manuel Miranda like putting like just doing Hamilton on a portable keyboard, and like them just having to imagine all of this, and then it became like, or like even thinking about In the Heights, and then they get to do In the Heights with them, and they get to like just completely go as big as their heart wants to with this thing that they have been pouring over. So to think of that conductor like being there since the beginning and working with what they could afford at that time, and now it's just like, go crazy, you can have as many people as you want in here and make it as big as you can, is like, it's so, I don't know, it just makes me feel so like creatively energized.
It's like creating something out of nothing, which is what it is. Like, that's what theater is. And it's really neat. Like, I try to always mention that to my students, because, like, I'm like, we come into this room, there's nothing in here. And in 6 weeks, we're going to have, like, something that only we know how to do, you know, that we created together. It's only ours. It'll never be done again this way. Mm-hmm. We get to create this out of nothing, out of thin air. Like, we're not, you know, and that's,
and also
really,
that's another powerful thing that has been cool about seeing the cast and the way they interact with each other. Like, I remember in percussion, when you were, you know, not a senior, you were like, well, I always, like, there's always next year. When, especially when you're a freshman or sophomore, you're like, I have so much time. But the teachers would always be so, like, aware of making sure we knew that, like, you're never, you're going to do this again next year, but you're never going to do this with the same people. You're never going to play these songs again with these.
Right.
People.
Yeah.
This is something that you guys are all doing together right now. And there's going to be a last time that happens.
Yeah. It is a moment and in time. Like, that's what it is.
I think that, like, it's just been so beautiful to see this cast have this whole experience. And now I'm glad they get a whole rollout next year that they'll also get to do and spend all this time with each other.
So I was thinking that really too. Over.
But I mean, that last day is going to be.
I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried for Miss Ari, I'll tell you that.
The codependence, maybe.
I just also want to say something, though, about the discourse online about Arna and Cynthia and their bodies. And, like, this is genuinely a question, because I feel like I've been seeing so much talk about bodies online in the past, like, few months in a way that I haven't seen before, like, in a long time. And it feels very damaging on both sides of it. The people saying, like, I just hate fat people, like, quoting, like, treat, like, when was fat phobia okay again? When is that, like, something we're bringing back? And the same thing is, is it just okay now to comment on whether or not we think somebody has an eating disorder? Like,
I know. I saw a tweet that was, like, from someone who was recovered from an eating disorder. Yeah. And she was like, I can't wait for this press tour to be over, because I can't. Every day I go online and it's people talking about whether or not these two celebrities have them.
Yeah.
And it's also, like, obviously I hope that they're both healthy and, like, okay, if that's the case, like, that's terrible, and I hope that they can get help and everything. But the truth is, we don't know that, and
we don't know it, and we used to not be allowed to speculate on that.
From what we're seeing two women who are, like, going, and they seem healthy, like, personality wise, they seem good. And I'm not saying that that's always an indicator that someone's fine, but we as the public aren't seeing anything that is a great cause for concern other than what we're physically seeing. And that's not for us to talk about. And I just think, I was talking to Miles about this today. We were talking about the movie, and I just think it's kind of distracted. Not entirely, but, like, now this press tour is riddled with, like, we've been talking about this thing that is triggering for a lot of people and might not even be true. And it's just, like, it feels unfair to them that this has kind of overtaken the conversation around the movie for some people.
Yeah, I think so too. And I just, you know, I don't think Ariana's out here saying everyone should look like me. And I understand, you know, these people are role models and there are Barbies of them and people want them to be body positive. And I don't know. We don't know what's going on there. I hope if they are sick, they get help. I hope they're not sick, but I just think that, like, do you think that Ariana going on TikTok and seeing videos of you talking about her having an eating
probably
disorder,
probably not helping.
Do you think that's helping her? Like, do you think it's going to make it better? Like, and it's like, oh, they're like, oh, well, I'm just drawing attention. It's like, I'm going to be for real. It doesn't seem like you're drawing attention to an issue. It feels like you're jumping on a bandwagon to get views. And I think it's sick. So I just think that, like, we stopped talking about people's bodies in negative ways, and we did that a little while ago, and it's like we are bringing it back, and I don't know if it's because people feel emboldened. I don't know what it is, but I don't think it's appropriate, and I don't think there's a place for it. So just saying that, like, either way, I just don't think it's appropriate. I hope they're okay. I'm not saying we should be ignoring concerning behavior, but I am saying we have no idea what's going on.
Exactly. So I just think that there's a difference.
It's crazy to see.
Because, like,
I've been also, I don't know if you weren't a Tumblr kid, right?
No, I was. Of course. Of course.
Oh, yeah, you were. Now I remember Guillermo. Yeah, yeah. So I, okay. there's a whole Tumblr world called Trigger Warning Eating Disorders Pro Anna, like to help people be anorexic. And yeah, I've been crazy. Seeing it's it on coming Twitter. Back. I know, with photos of Ariana.
For like kids. I know, it's really They're dangerous. Teenagers.
I've been seeing stuff where it's like, okay, here, guys, if you need more inspiration, like here are photos of her. And they're tweeting like, you know, hashtag eating disorder Twitter, hashtag pro Anna. And it's like, it is the scariest thing in the world to me. What is happening? And so if you're listening to this and you struggle with this in any way, first of all, I hope this wasn't a triggering like conversation, but also like, please just take care of yourself in a way that genuinely is taking care of yourself. And if you need to talk to someone, you can message either of us, like, but please do not succumb to these terrible, terrible communities that are coming out of the woodwork again, because it's not like, okay.
Someone like Ariana has discussed stuff like this before, and now, first of all, talking about her body has made her feel uncomfortable. And she's like, anytime I'm at my healthiest, people are commenting on my body the most. And it's like, I know that for some people are like, well, what does she think is her healthiest? And it's like, well, it's not our business. We're not seeing her, like, we aren't seeing her pass out on carpets. I know there was that blind item, but like, that has rumors really
we
been
don't
like,
no.
Like, are those rumors just coming from the people that are obsessed with this right now and they want to keep talking about it and they want it to be true so badly?
And it's getting clicks and Wicked is really hot. And it's like, that's, it's like, how disgusting. And it's
to the detriment of young girls. That's who it's hurting. And that is the last thing that Ariana or Cynthia would want.
Yeah, 100%. So anyway, just wanted to pop that in there. Phoebe, next week. So I, unfortunately, I'm staying home for Thanksgiving this year. It didn't work out to go. So I'm going to miss the golf cart parade and the theme is Wicked, which is like deeply sad. But Phoebe is going to be there. Your first year driving the golf cart. How are you feeling? Mom, are you nervous?
Mom said she might drive the golf
cart. That's how much she doesn't want you to drive it?
No.
You're going 5 miles an hour.
No, that's not why. It's because of my costume.
And will you tell us about it?
Well, let's just say.
By the way, you're going to have to be on content that day because I'm not going to be there to do it.
Okay, well, I literally went live last year and I did our whole story last year.
You gotta do that.
Well, let's just say things might be getting a little green around here.
Are you painting your entire body green at 8 a.m. on Thanksgiving and then keeping it on all day? Maybe. I hope that's
Well, no, I'm doing it the night before. I'm sleeping in it. I'm sleeping in the green paint.
There won't be time. There simply won't be time. I get that.
I'm getting it professionally done.
Well, of course. They're coming in like one of those spray tan tents.
Yeah, Joe and Sandy are doing it.
Oh, that's so cool of them. I knew they were good at that. They always have that vibe about them. It is a Wicked themed golf cart. There will be lots of content about it. If you have seen Wicked and loved it, we would love to know what you think. Please comment on this. Let us know your thoughts. I'm going to be thinking about talking about dreaming about Wicked for like the foreseeable future.
We'll probably talk again about it at length on Tuesday. We'll have seen it again.
Yes, exactly. So,
When are you seeing it next?
I'm actually seeing it Monday night. So I'm not going to probably, unless I go this weekend, who knows? All bets are off.
I'm probably going to go Saturday afternoon. I think that's my plan.
Like, why not? Why not?
Literally. I'm going to free
tickets a week. Why not?
Exactly. I'm going to Charleston on Sunday. There's no AMCs in Charleston.
Oh, you're going to go to Regal, which is a good theater. Eh. Or you could go to the Terrace. It's fun. To drive kind of far, but it's fun. It's like it feels like old timey kind of. It's in West Ashley or Rainbow Island. I don't know. Anyway, that's what all my friends go to. But
is that where they saw Wicked?
I don't know, actually. Because they got to see it like super early. So I don't know if it was there, but they loved it. I mean, everyone I've spoken to has loved it, has said no notes. Matthew, who like Wizard of Oz for him is like what it was for me, probably more for him. And he was like, I just wish I could see it with Matthew, honestly. Like,
I can't wait to see it again and pick up on more and more of the Easter eggs. Like,
there's so much to see.
The slippers with the twister in the heel.
Oh my God. Oh my God. And also when Glinda pulled out the heel on her when she's getting ready to make Fiyero.
The ruby rose.
No. Not that one.
Oh, yes. Her
shoes.
But yeah, there was also very popular. She pulls out the. And then also Nessa Rose is in striped socks most of the movie. Look, and
that critic, I still just cannot get over the fact that he thinks there could even be a Wizard of Oz without Nessa Rose. Hey, do you know that, also, do you know that Wicked is just Frozen?
Here's the thing about the if you have no clue what's going on, I understand that note more, but I'm like a movie critic that I understand that in like a Letterboxd review. If I'm reading that from someone reviewing it for fun.
10 years old.
But like or just doesn't know, because how would you know if that is her if you don't know the story of Wicked?
Well, there's a Green Witch. And there's only really one other one I know of, that's the Wicked Witch of the West. So first there's the Green Witch. And the whole thing with the Green Witch that she's mad about is that someone killed her little sister. So then we meet the Green Witch's little sister. And she's wearing striped socks. And she gets these sparkly slippers. And
I know, but those are a little bit... They're a little bit... I can put myself in someone else's ruby red slippers.
That's nice of you. I can't
see that. Maybe I understand.
I shouldn't have to. Wicked's been around for too long.
Anyway, the thing I can't get over about that review is the talk. Him talking thinking animals. That the talking animals. That okay.
The because that if you've I, just seen the first part, you understand the review, why they have to be there.
When I read the review, I was a little bit like, wait, maybe that part, maybe it doesn't like get as intense until the second half of the movie. Like maybe I'm misremembering how pivotal that, I mean, obviously I know something bad in Dr. Dillamond. I expected that, but I mean, like
it's the whole point.
It's the entire point.
It's the whole point. That's the whole movie.
We don't have defying gravity without you hear, the talking animals.
Exactly. And you hear her talking about all she, you know, she doesn't want to be green anymore. I want the Wicked to degreenify me. I don't want to be green. And then she sees the little doll, which also that's a major Easter. You know, why did he know she needed to be green? So anyway, she's green. She's like, she's green. And he's like, did you not want? Because and then she realizes there's something she wants more than that. There's something she wants more than she wants to be, not be green. She mm-hmm. wants the animals
it's
to get their voices
back.
Because
of how she, it's because of how she was, who raised her.
Yes, because she was raised basically by that. Like, that's the story.
And also question, I can't exactly remember. The cub that Fiyero and Elphaba let go, that's the Cowardly Lion, right?
That's the Cowardly Lion, yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Not just spoil.
I mean, it's also just the coolest thing to see how everything gets tied up.
So
to see
fun.
Who Nessa with becomes. To see, like, and you and see it starting to happen for Nessa a little bit.
Yes, when the father like passes out and like, or I guess he dies, right?
Well, and also when she sees Bach looking at Glinda and she's just like,
she gets
so angry. Yeah, because that's really, you
I
know,
will
Bach's
say,
story.
I'm not
here. Also Bach's story.
I'm not here to slander Ethan Slater right now. It's not what I'm doing, because I actually think that he was a very endearing Bach. I didn't quite maybe get to the place Ariana got with him, not my place too.
Yeah.
But what I will say,
still not getting it, Ari.
What I will say is I get it with the carpet. Like I can put myself there for the carpet, Ethan, but if his hair looked like that the entire time I was like falling in love with him, I just don't know.
Oh, and it did.
Anyway, the when he first meets Glinda and he like gets on his tippy toes and puts the cane under his feet, and when he sees how Glinda is around Fiyero, and he meets Fiyero and he gets up on the books, and then Fiyero like kind of like not like Fiyero,
like,
that's what I meant earlier when I was talking about like you don't, he's not as mean to Bach as
I feel that's what I was trying to say too, like He looks like at Bach more as like his number two guy. Like he's a cool,
which
you know,
I like. I like that so much more than him just being a jerk. But
well, and you know what? Also, I felt in this movie is that Glinda isn't actually mean. Glinda is a follower.
Well, except for there were a couple times where she was.
No, I know, but here, this is what I'm saying: is she's a follower. She's not usually being mean by herself. She's usually being mean because Fanny or whoever is around her and they're expecting her. They want her to. You know, so the hat, she feels bad about it in the moment. Like, you know what I mean? And then she's like, oh, well, they'll think I'm really cool if I do this. You know, so even though Glinda's the leader, She's actually a massive follower, and she's not really, she's just delusional. She just is completely unself-aware and not tied down to reality. And she's only been around people in her life who have treated her the way Fanny treats her, the way, you know, these people treat her. So, and Bach. And so that's what she's used to. Now she's meeting somebody who's different than her, who's showing her this different side of her. So I felt like in this movie, I don't think Galinda's actually really a mean person. I think that she is a follower, and she's a little bit weaker than Elphaba, and Elphaba gives her some strength throughout the movie. But also Fiero's not a mean person, you know, like they're just who they are.
And I it was great. Like
Fanny is the meanest one, you know, but I just thought that was insane. I don't know if that's something that Ariana brought to it. I don't know.
I of course love the scene where she changes her name. Iconic.
So why did I do that? What was I thinking?
But also, like, it is
in the classroom, and she's like, does it wrong, and she goes, she doesn't say anything. He's like,
oh my god, and Dr. Dillman is such a little sweetheart.
Oh, I know, when he drops the poppies, I was like, I can't, because he can't pick them up.
I had one last thought. Okay, so out of the liars, who's a Glinda, who's an Elphaba? I think the key, Hannah and Emily, are Elphaba and Glinda.
Yes, they are. Arya, hate to break it to you, is a Glinda, but she wants to be an Elphaba so bad.
So bad. So and Spencer's actually the most authentic Elphaba that could ever be.
She could not be more Elphaba.
It's perfect.
Jenna is giving Nessa. Just kidding.
Something really cool I also learned in the Curtain Rises thing is that, and it's just things that you don't think about, and this is why it's so important for people who are differently abled to be playing characters. Like, to actually have someone who is in a wheelchair play a character in a wheelchair. Normally, that doesn't happen. Cool. And also, the person who choreographed her and Ethan's dance for Dancing Through Life was someone who is in a wheelchair and choreographs for people in wheelchairs.
Wow. So, like,
the care that was taken through the whole thing, and the young actress was also someone who's in a wheelchair. So, like, in the pictures of them on the carpet holding hands, the old Nessa Rose,
little girl,
she is actually the cutest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. Her curls.
I know. She's so
and her glasses.
Cute.
When she cries in that.
I know.
First scene.
She was so cute. I'm a little worried about this recording right now because you've gone out like three times. Like, you've completely disappeared from the screen.
You've been also doing that. We'll see how it is.
So I don't know what it's going to look like towards the end of this. I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm in a different location. It's really like windy and like.
That could be
it. I don't know. Anyway, I feel like we got to wrap this up because it's pissing me off. But. It's just like the technical difficulties are pissing me off. But that's our deep dive on Wicked. I mean, we just spoke about Wicked for an hour and 10 minutes. So
we could have kept going.
I hope you guys, I could have kept going, and we will keep going on Tuesday. I hope you enjoyed. Tuesday, you'll get your next podcast, and Thursday, you'll get season 6, episode 3. If you have not listened to yesterday's episode, season 6, episode 2, it is out everywhere. Songs of Innocence.
It was so funny. That was a good episode.
Good up. Next week, we're going to be doing the Martha documentary as our Patreon. So get excited. Watch it. That's your homework, is to watch it. Next week, we'll also be watching it, and we'll have lots to say about that. I don't think I have anything else. So comment. Let us know what you thought of Wicked, what your plans are to go see it. Hope you loved it so much. And we'll see you next week. And
splat.
Let us be glad and grateful.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.